Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. On today's episode, we have a chat with artist Jackie O'Neill at her studio in Cavan Town, where she discusses with us how home and heritage have informed her work. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
Just really interested in home as a subject, and I'm continuing to explore what home means, and it's changing all the time with the pandemic. But I guess when I moved to London at, I don't even know what age I was, maybe 23 or 24. No, I was older. I was 26. And I didn't think much of this decision, but it was a culture shock that I hadn't prepared myself for. It was only across the water, but it was a massive culture shock. And I just found it so fascinating. Like, the, you know, certain words didn't translate over there, or certain ways of thinking. And I'm really interested in that. And I'm interested in how people go abroad and have these wonderful lives. But what's home to them? Like, where is home really for people? And that's something I'm still exploring. I just find that really fascinating, that this draw to the land that you come from. But then when you get away, you appreciate home. And I guess that's exactly what happened to me, and it happens to everybody. But like, it was like I moved to London for 3 years, and I came home like an American tourist who thought everything was beautiful. And my first exhibition I did actually was a group show with Rianta, and it was called Different Perspectives. And it was just based on my walks in Ballyhays, having moved home, going out for a walk every day. And it was just like thistles and bees and cows from the agriculture college in Ballyhays. And but yeah, like that, like having been away, you just or maybe it's as you get older, you have this new appreciation for the land that you come from and the beauty of it. The first thing I did was get funding from Cavan County Council to, I had an idea to create artwork based on a trip I was making to Japan. And I came home, and that was my first solo exhibition, Caught in a Loop. And it was the first time I started responding to narrative about Hiroshima and the history of Japanese culture, when in my head, actually, what I wanted to respond to was the cherry blossoms and the flowers being a textile designer. So I surprised myself. And that's when visual storytelling, I guess, was introduced into my artwork. And it made sense to start looking for these stories at home, you know, where I come from. And yeah, so definitely where you come from is rooted within you. So of course it would make sense to look to your own home for these stories. I have my gallery space in Cavan Town, and it's definitely informing the subjects that I work in a very natural way. The first project I ever did based on Cavan heritage was The Hollow, which was an exhibition of Cavan folklore of the whole county. We exhibited here in the County Museum in 2014. And I spent 6 months travelling around Cavan, getting to know Cavan like I'd never got to know it before. I never knew about Glengevlin. I never knew we had a Burren. We had this own, like, Connemara in Cavan that I didn't realise. And as people see those prints over the years, it's like been like a domino effect of, oh, well, maybe you could make one about my area. And then I did an entire body of work in 2017 called Scaled to Dar Dalloon, Stories of the Ground, about Ballyhays. So that's the community within Cavan that I come from. So you can just keep digging and digging and digging, and it's never ending. Like, sometimes I feel so overwhelmed thinking there's so much, I'll never cover it in a lifetime, and I won't. But yeah, there's just so much here on our doorstep. So the Golden Way project is a project that we are continuing to develop, and it's been in development for 2 years. It is a collaboration between myself and the Heritage Office and Heather Breath and Heather Brothwell. And so I guess poetry, visual art, community spirit and heritage and horticulture all come together. Our Heather does workshops with the people of each walkway, the local people, and I walk the walkway with these people. So we bring the poetry and the stories and the visuals that I see together to create a visual story. I call that visual story a dreamscape, because it's based on the landscape, but it's based on a dream, maybe a time past, maybe a story, maybe a line of poetry, maybe a particular flower that's been pointed out to me that's unique to this walkway, or an animal. It's all a way of, it's how can you best tell the story, isn't it? Like, what's the best way that I can show everybody else what's in my head? I gather all my information from the poetry workshop and from walking the walkway with the local people, and I take a load of photos. And then I sit with that for about a month at least. And then at one moment, something will spark a visual in my head. And then I jot it down really quickly, really scribbly. And then I go about taking it apart again and making it properly out of watercolours. And so my main medium at the moment is watercolour and pen. And so after I've jotted down my initial idea, then I have to go about executing the idea I need photographs, so I will take photographs, or I'll find photographs in old history books and somehow make my own composition out of them. So for instance, with the Hollow Lane, I took a lovely photograph of the limestone kiln, which they're really proud of, and then I found photographs of people digging, and I used photographs of the fields in the Hollow Lane, and then again the horticulturist told me about the animals and the plants, so again I go and I source photographs of these plants and animals if I can't actually take them myself. And yeah, I create them pencil drawings, and then I layer them with tea to get this lovely old base, and then I build up my colours. And it's a very intuitive process, I just kind of turn on some music and get lost in it. And yeah, and as any artist will say, it's not, hopefully not too contrived, you know, you just get lost in it and hope it will come together. But at the end I have maybe 15 drawings, and I scan them in and put them together on the computer to make what I did in the little sketch of the initial composition. So it's like a jigsaw, I guess. I guess you can be unconsciously influenced by the music you're listening to, and it just kind of gets you out of the real world. And I definitely paint better at nighttime, even though that's not great for light, but I guess the madness of the day all settles and people aren't coming to you, and there's no emails, and you definitely can get lost in it a little bit better late at night with some music playing. I talked about the structure of the pictures that I use and how I need those visual references, but I like to juxtapose them with some abstract paintings. And I've only got into that in recent years because painting is not what I studied. I studied textile design, which is very structured. But I've went to some painting workshops about abstract painting and just loosening up. And again, in those workshops, I was taught to listen to music and paint really quickly, like a child, you know, get toothbrushes and splash them and, limit yourself to the length of the song to make the painting. And you would be surprised with the lovely backgrounds you can come up with then for your skies. And you can get a little box like a viewfinder then and go over the big painting and find little details within it. And often they look to me like little ethereal landscapes, like magical. And they create a lovely magic to the past, as a backdrop to the past, which is what my work is about. So yeah, they're like little kaleidoscope skies, I guess. But the next part of my process for my textile work is to get that imagery printed onto fabric. I get it printed in a little place up in Donegal, and then I send them the file. They print it onto the calico that I give them, and they send it back to me. And then I start embroidering back in again to the piece, and that adds another layer to it. So it's like the cherry on the top of the cake. So when people call me a textile artist, I feel that's not where all my energy goes. It's like it's the finish for me. A lot of my energy goes into the painting and the gathering of the research and the stories. But it is obviously a very unique way of presenting the work, and it's what I studied. So I print them onto the fabric and I embroider back into details, and it does add a new layer again. And I guess there's something really ancient about embroidery as well. So it's a nice way. I am bringing together some old and new techniques to create something new. I guess just so many different things that end up coming into the piece. And in this project in particular, what was new for me was responding to poetry. Although I've responded to words before, poetry is a different thing, which I'm still learning about. But for the Temple Port one in particular, the words were really beautiful, and I feel like they really come true on the visuals. So there's something quite magical about them, we hope. They engage people with the walkway, maybe even children with the walkway. And it's a way of people to see the walkway from a different perspective, we hope.
We spent some time chatting with poet Heather Brett about her involvement in the Golden Way project and how heritage has a special place in her work.
With the natural course of the river crisscrosses our thoughts, and the railway line cuts through the past and the fields, as the earth bends light beams at sunset into gold, we too can sway, like the branches of the willow, breathing music into a north wind. And those were ideas from four or five different people, and they were all coming together to try and inspire and imbue the landscape with their own thoughts and how they felt about it. And what a beautiful experience they'd had every day walking this lovely local road. Other ones for, like, say, Deer Park Forest was cinnamon, gold and nutmeg trees crisscrossing the forest, expansive walkways, allow us all to roam, run or ramble alongside the unseen ghosts of yesterday. Of course, those little walks are always places too that you can let your imagination go wild. And it's very accessible to have the visual, but it's a very deep and meaningful thing to have words that you can actually pin on those walkways. So I was very impressed to work with the local people and to see how deep they actually felt about their own land. Yeah, the Golden Way Project is one of those projects that it's so community-based because there's so much support and so much pride in Cavan for the county. When I first started many years ago doing the Golden, it used to be called the Golden Mile, and people would take this area that they thought was extremely beautiful and they would support it. They would get other people involved in looking after it, and they would introduce things like bat boxes or things like a botanist coming and talking to them and telling them what these wildflowers were. So getting the young people interested in that, then they would have walks in that area. And I thought this was a fabulous way to actually just take the ordinary lane at the back of your house and make something so enchanting outside your back door. It was actually another way to say, okay, we've got this Golden Way, so how do we bring it to the attention of other people? And the idea to bring art with it, at first we were working with artist Jackie O'Neill, and then the heritage officer Anne-Marie was saying, well, we want something bigger in order to reach more people. So it not only had an artistic visual presence. When I was doing the poetry with the people from the area, it was their thoughts and their feelings that mattered. And I was trying to put those into a form of words that would make them proud of their Golden Way. And whenever, you know, because these people have lived this way for a long time, and say it's something like a mass path, or it's something like an old railway line, and then they get all these ideas about the waters crossing the fields, and, you know, the fields are splitting up into beautiful emerald shaped patterns in the landscape. And these are things that you might think them yourself, but they very seldom get talked about until you're with your community. I think that Cavan is one of those unique places where a lot of artists have come together, and it's like a kind of a lodestone, because I have no affiliation at all with Cavan. I didn't know anybody from here. I just came here. and stayed because the landscape spoke to me, and that's about the easiest way I can say it. Heritage to me wasn't very important 20 years ago, because I really didn't know how much the Heritage Office and people that really believed in built heritage and, you know, keeping things as they were or as they are, and how much the heritage in the landscape, the old landscape, the built heritage, the natural heritage, how much the importance would grow into my work. When I began writing again and painting, it was usually with schools, and I saw the pride every child has in their area, in the fact that they're from Cavan. And this is always to do with, oh, we have this, we have that, we have the other, you know. And when you see that pride, it's a very collective uplifting of some people, you know, just saying how great it is to live in a place that has beautiful scenery, it has beautiful ruins, it has a story for everything.
Heather, an art therapist, Kim Doherty, have joined forces to set up Druman Creative. Kim joined Heather to tell us all about it.
Well, welcome to Druman Creative. And this is a new initiative in Cavan. The first priority is really to promote artists in Cavan and their work that has been inspired by the Cavan landscape. Who works with me is Kim Doherty, sitting beside me. She's an art therapist, and Kim is looking at everything visual.
My focus is wellness, and I have an interest in how we are inspired by our environment. So I believe that artists are inspired by each other, but very much the landscape that's around them. And as Heather said, Druman Creative, it's rooted in the landscape. So we believe that artists are inspired by Cavan, past and present.
And the idea with Druman Creative, it's been that we do value the artists that we have here in Cavan, and we want to make sure that they feel valued themselves, and that because this landscape that we all love so much has come through their work in different ways, this is a good time to show tourism what we're about, what the artist's about, what can be the future as a destination, as Cavan. We do believe that Druman Creative is the beginning of something much bigger. We feel that that it will grow and blossom itself, so that these artists will feel that they have the world at their fingertips, that they won't have to go and search for something, that they can stay here and give it to people from here.
We value being able to travel to somewhere, to have an experience. And so our Cavan artists have a lot to offer in terms of providing that cultural experience to either their local up the road or to tourists from further afield.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, slán go fóill.